The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Glenn Cobb. He is the Regional Vice President for the Americas Solution Engineering for Cypher Cloud. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Because this is radio, I got to spell things because people may not get this right. So it's CIPHERCLOUD, Cypher Cloud. This company based in San Jose, California, and looks like it's got some really good fun technology, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have actually. That's why I joined the company about 3.5 years ago, because I wanted something exciting that was in future state. You know, sort of the, it's truly the bleeding edge of security around SaaS, software as a service applications.
Well, the reason I have them in here is because in 2011, Gartner claimed that Cypher Cloud was one of the coolest vendors in cloud security.
Right.
And so, hey, I tell my kids that I'm cool all the time. They never believe me, but maybe if I associate with you, Glenn, I can get some coolness rubbed
exactly.
off on me or something. Huh? Actually, I go to trade shows all the time. I meet people, and I was at a trade show, and I saw a booth and said, Cypher Cloud. I said, Cypher Cloud. And I said, encryption in the cloud? This has got to be. And so I started talking to some of the folks there. And I called him up and said, well, what do you have to offer my listeners? My listeners are federal IT professionals. They're always looking for, you know, ways to accomplish the transition to the cloud. And they said, well, we might be able to help them. And so that's why you're here. What I want to do is you know, if you're working for Treasury or you're working for Interior or HHS, you know, you type in encryption, you're trying to move to the cloud, you don't have any budget, you're trying to do it as cheap as possible, you're trying to do effective or maybe figure out how to make, you know, encrypt existing data. I thought it's important for you to know about this company called Cypher Cloud, and that's where we got you. Glenn, tell us about your background, please.
Sure. My background started about 30 years ago in IT, enterprise architecture, working for big corporate America. Moved into the financial space where security became more important than customer service with banking, financial. And then from there, I decided to get a little crazy and go into the startup company space, which has introduced me to Cypher Cloud.
If you Google Cypher Cloud, the words that come up will be... It's a virtual appliance technology to be used from within the premises to encrypt or mask sensitive data. Boy, that sounds like a big piece bit off right there, huh?
It is.
Wow, so a virtual appliance technology. Why don't you describe, you know, if you're talking to someone in the metro, how would you describe your company?
Sure. So first question that you have to answer is, where is that cloud? Right, we're securing the cloud, but where is it? So the cloud is any hosting services, whether it's a software as a service provider such as Salesforce or Box or Microsoft 365. And that need then is to secure the data that's going into that cloud. So making sure that you as an IT security officer or CISO can validate the data you're moving into cloud hosting or non-controlled hosting is secure. And how do you do that? Well, there's a couple of options. One is you build a big fence around that building and you put in a lot of firewalls, but still somebody can get in and get that data. And to protect it, you encrypt it. Then you encrypt it with government standard level encryption.
And I think that's, is that the FIPS 140? Is that the encryption?
Yeah,
FIPS 140-2?
Yep, FIPS 140-2 and FIPS 197 certifications.
In preparing for this interview, I obsessively, compulsively read blog posts and Twitter feeds. I went to your Twitter feed. Your company Twitter feed is at CIPHERCLOUD, Cypher Cloud. And I noticed one of your company's tweets referenced David Linthicum's article on InfoWorld. And I said, well, I know David. Let's see what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And what David said is, hey, boys and girls, ROI ain't enough. It ain't enough. What you have to worry about is the objectives of moving to the cloud, performance issues, and then security. He said, that's what you have to focus in on. I said, well, geez, that plays right into what Cypher Cloud can offer, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I've had CIOs call me on occasion, friends of mine, past coworkers, and they say, I want to move to the cloud. What are the key things I need to worry about? I said, well, first of all, you have to have resiliency. They need to be disaster recovery, business continuity, make sure that they have centers located in multiple places so that if something goes down, you still have access to your data. I said the second thing is know where your data is at all times. So where is it going to be hosted? And then making sure that it's secure. The real key there too, pun intended, is when you decide to leave that service, you have to have a way to be able to shred your data. How do you shred your data? Well, you can use Iron Mountain. You know, they come in and shred everything. But if they're backing it up to multiple places
across the country, that's your first question. Where is it?
Yeah. So by using encryption, you own the key to that encryption. And by destroying that key, you legally have shredded that data.
And David is writing for a commercial audience in InfoWorld. We talked about cloud success. But he said, you know, a big reason for failure of moving to the cloud in the commercial world is security, governance, and compliance. Now, hopefully, my listeners, federal IT professionals, are familiar with some of these compliance issues. But they may not be familiar with CyberCloud and what you can offer. So if I am, let's say I'm working for an agency, and I considering moving to Salesforce because it's pretty efficient. Mm-hmm. I'm really wary because I don't want to put all my stuff into Salesforce out in who knows where. And so the transition would be considering a company like yours, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. So if you're looking at moving into a SaaS offering such as Salesforce, you have to consider that. How do I protect this information not only from Salesforce employees or malicious attackers that would try and attack the Salesforce platform, but also just because of our own regulatory ability for our government to come in and take data when necessary. So you really want to secure it. CypherCloud does that. We encrypt that data and we apply an approach called zero knowledge, meaning that the cloud vendor, such as Salesforce, has no knowledge of the key information or the ability to decrypt that content. So that's a new term that's coming into the CASB space, the cloud access security brokerage space, zero knowledge. I've had a couple of large financials ask me, are you able to support zero knowledge?
And to talk in the vernacular of the street is, who's the keeper of the keys? So in some systems, let's say ABC company offers a software as a service offering, and I want to encrypt it, and they would be holding the keys. And many agencies may not be comfortable with that. Maybe they want to hold the keys. And so if you're listening and kind of wary about another company holding the keys to sensitive federal information with a company like CypherCloud, all of a sudden you can keep the keys to the encrypted data that's sitting in the cloud.
Absolutely. So that's a real differentiator with CypherCloud. Is we use symmetrical keys, meaning there's only one key that locks and unlocks a data set. And that key is totally and 100% controlled by the company that deploys our product, as opposed to using a SaaS provider such as Salesforce or ServiceNow or Box, where they offer an encryption service, but it's a dual key ownership, meaning they still have that extra set of keys to your hotel room equivalent, right? They can still unlock the door if they have to.
Let me turn the tables on you. What if you're a government agency in Canada and want to sign up for a big vendor like Salesforce or mm-hmm. Microsoft? And then you go, well, hey, you know, all well and good, but you know, the Patriot Act says they can just go in and take whatever they want. I'm really uncomfortable with that.
Exactly.
It'd be like, you know, Glenn, I really, really like your product. I really like this Salesforce stuff. I really like this Gmail stuff. But I'm kind of wary of storing my stuff over there. And so the solution is an intermediary or almost an encryption broker. Is that word?
Absolutely. And we have several customers, both government and private sector, financial sector, and medical, pharmaceutical in Canada. And they just need to make sure, because of data sovereignty and data residency, that the real data never leaves their country, required by law.
So it can be on-premises encryption, or it can be what's called zero knowledge. Is that how to describe that technology?
Yep. So it's on-premise, they can, and actually what happens in our Canadian customers typically, they just want our system, our software, located in Canada. So they don't even host it themselves. They just want to make sure that those bytes of data before they leave the country are encrypted so that they can comply with PURPA and be protected from the Patriot Act.
So your company's been around since what, about 2010, is that right?
That's correct. About mm-hmm. 5 years. We started shipping product about a little over 4 years ago.
And initial success story was with Salesforce. I would imagine there was a financial organization somewhere that went up to the founder of the company and said, hey, I'm dying to use Salesforce, but you know, I'm really scared. I don't want to hand the keys to mm-hmm. the kitchen to these people. And so this sounds like this is the problem that the company initially solved.
Yeah, absolutely. Our first customer was a Salesforce-driven customer that was put in a bind. It was a very, very large top three financial institution in the world, and they needed to protect data that was going into Salesforce. And Salesforce was the first opportunity. They've been around 10 years. They have over 100,000 customers, which means multi-millions of actual end users. So they had a real need, and they had to move quickly and to satisfy this requirement.
Colin, let's take a break and come back, talk about encryption versus tokenizing, and maybe talk about performance issues as well. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Glenn Cobb, Regional Vice President for the Americas, Solution Engineering for CipherCloud. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Glenn Cobb. He is a Regional Vice President for the Americas, specializes in solution engineering for a company called CipherCloud, CipherCloud. You can go to their website and read blogs, and I usually go to their Twitter feed and follow, you know, what they're talking about. And by the way, there's a big trade show going on in Paris, and they didn't pick you to go over there, did they?
No, they didn't.
Well, you got to twist some arms and say, hey, send me to Paris next year or whatever.
I got sunny Washington, D.C.
Yeah, 95 degrees. Boy, I'd rather be in Paris. I went to your website this morning, and I noticed one of the job titles of the people working there is Chief Trust Officer. Well, that's kind of intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah, Chief Trust Officer. When I joined the company, that was sort of a new title to me because I've seen a lot of different titles. And it's really having a very solid understanding of technology, security, and business. So an overlay. The Chief Trust Officer we've had in the past was a financial services CIO. So I think that ties it together to knowing what the business needs and the security is wrapped around that.
I remember years ago, I was looking for a guest to talk about risk management, and everyone I found was involved in the finance community. And it dawned on me, well, duh, even deploying software solutions, there's financial risk there. And so the risk management folks are all involved, heavily involved in finance, and I got involved in it. In fact, I'm running a seminar on Bitcoin here coming up in July.
Oh boy.
I don't even know how I wound up doing that, but I get picked for that. So CipherCloud acts as kind of an intermediary maybe between a software as a service company and an organization like an agency or a company or a bank. And usually when you think of this encryption, I read several blog posts at your company and they talked about encryption, then the next blog post was about tokenizing. And I said, maybe you can highlight the differences between these two for me, please.
Yeah, so I'll do two things. One is, what are they? And then why are they used differently? Mm-hmm. So encryption is using an algorithm. So it's a mathematical calculation to generate a value that is not anywhere decipherable from the original value. So you take my name, Glenn, and you encrypt it, and it comes out as blah, 123. There's no way to backwards engineer it without 100 years in a supercomputer. But it's a derivative of the original value. So when you store it, you have the original information. Mm-hmm. You just have to decipher it to read it again. So that's encryption. Tokenization, my analogy to that is it's a stunt double. You know, it's Burt Reynolds, if you know. You go back that far. You know, he didn't do all those jump and dive moves. They stuck a substitute actor in that place as a stunt double. So in tokenization, you replace the real value with a fake value. So there's no mathematics involved. So there's no calculation. Therefore, you can't reverse engineer it. The catch with tokenization, though, is you have to have a database where you store the match. So you store Glenn and you store a token, maybe the token is John.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have that mapping. So when you want to de-tokenize data, you've got to run it back through that database and replace the fake value, the stunt double, with the real value.
What if you're sitting over at Department of Interior and you're learning about encryption? So where'd be an application for token? I just don't see where the application would be for tokenization.
There's a couple of really good applications for tokenization. It's typically around a country or entity that doesn't allow encryption. So Germany is a good example. Germany recently upgraded their PII, their personal information, to require tokenization for any data leaving the country that is any information regarding citizens. Canada does the same thing in healthcare. So if you're a Canadian-based organization and you want to store data in a cloud application, oftentimes they have to use tokenization instead of encryption, because then you're not even delivering the information in crypto. You're actually sending a fake value.
Interesting. Earlier we talked about my friend Dave Linthicum, and now I'm going to bring up a newly found star in this town, in my world. His name is Tony Scott. He was recently appointed CIO, and I heard him speak last week, and he's caused quite a commotion with a few of the things he said. I mean, pretty strong commotion. He said, we've got a lot of old systems out there, and we got to update them. And he says it's like putting airbags in a 64 Mustang.
True.
Interesting. But we talked about, you know, David Linthicum in the commercial world talking about ROI and focusing on other things. Now, what Tony Scott focused on, three things. He's focused on value, digital services, and protecting assets. Myself, well, we got to get cyber cloud in here, because all of a sudden there's this big mush to the cloud. But oh, by the way, we have to protect the assets. And that's right where you fit in.
Absolutely. A good example of that is we're currently working with a very large financial institution that is all in the cloud. So they have no brick and mortar. They have no banks on the corner of First and Main. And therefore, their entire reputation is their assets. It's all their customers. So if they have a breach, if they have to report a data loss, which means somebody got into their data system and maybe accessed some customer records, they have to report it to all 10 million customers by law. So when you encrypt the data using CipherCloud encryption, you do not have to report the breach. It's not a loss of data, because the real data wasn't lost.
Interesting. I was talking to some aerospace engineers yesterday, and I'm all, you know, all kinds of different acronyms are popping up in the back of my little brain here. There's one acronym associated with your company called SSE, Searchable Strong Encryption. Mm-hmm. So how is that different from other types of encryption?
Sure. So we use only NIST-approved algorithms, so we don't make up our own encryption methods or algorithms, which is good, because anything, if you ever see algorithms or encryption that says proprietary, throw it out, because nobody's tested it. It hasn't been thrown to the wolves, so to speak. So we've created, using the NIST encryption, what's called strong searchable or searchable strong encryption. What we've done is we've actually developed about 20 patents that allow us to retain the ability to search against that crypto and not impact the functionality. So if you want to do a wildcard search, starts with, ends with, you know, throw some wildcards in there, we can support that. Very unique to our encryption methodologies, but still retaining the FIPS NIST certification.
And that's the magic sauce, I think. When I was doing research on your company, I went to the founder, and I saw his LinkedIn page. Then I started reading his patents, and I had to scroll through his patents. I
mean, yeah.
And this guy isn't like, you know, I'd be real proud if I know someone who has a patent. Mm-hmm. He must have 20 patents, and they all involve encryption. So for the company that knows encryption, I mean, this seems to be, I mean, this is a deep dive for the founder of your company, and you must be qualified in the area too, but my goodness, all these patents. I mean, this is a tough world to get a patent in.
It is, and it's when you file a patent, you can actually protect that patent, because there's a lot of theft in the world, right? So we actually apply additional security to our own patents to make sure that they're not freely distributed, because the methods are truly unique, but they're not proprietary to some extent. So you're patenting a package.
And they've been tested in the real world. Tony Scott also had something interesting to say that applies to your world. He said there's two types of CIAs out there. The guys who know they've been hacked, and they don't know they've been hacked.
Right.
been hacked.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah,
that's the rule.
It assumes that's the case. So we have applications for encryption, application from tokenizing, and with a whole lot of encryption. Now, years ago, I took these silly little tests, and I had to get certified for this and all these special initials after my name. And I remember learning about AES and encryption and 100 years of 100 computers and everything else. But one thing that stuck with me after all this information I had to memorize was speed. It seemed like back then it was always, well, this compromises speed. Encryption's fine, but it compromises speed. So I think in the last 10 years, some people have said, yeah, we maybe skip that step because we want to give better customer service and be faster. And that's the dilemma I see too. Well, on the one hand, you want to be encrypted. On the other hand, you have good customer service. So where is the razor's edge here?
So, yeah, the razor's edge is figuring out how to not compromise the user capabilities. So our biggest challenge was two things when we started. One was encrypting, figuring it out and not breaking functionality such as search and sort. The second piece was making sure that when an end user hit save on a record being saved to the cloud, it didn't take 10 minutes. So we've really worked hard to make it an enterprise solution and very robust, very efficient. On average, our encryption process of a single value takes anywhere from 10 to 20 milliseconds. So the blink of an eye is 300 milliseconds. Therefore, we can encrypt a couple dozen fields before you'd even notice it in the blink of an eye. So we've become very efficient at that. Otherwise, we'd be thrown out, right? The business drives the company. And if the business users are not happy with the technology you give them, they'll go find something else.
Oh, real fast, yeah. And then all of a sudden, they won't use all those precautions built in.
Yep.
Let's take a little break, come back. We'll talk more about encryption, the cloud, and speed, and talk about some performance issues I think many of my listeners may be thinking about when they hear about encryption. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Glenn Cobb, Regional Vice President for the Americas, Solution Engineering for Cypher Cloud. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Glenn Cobb. He's the Regional Vice President for the Americas, Solution Engineering for Cypher Cloud. And I know it's not a very radio-friendly word, but it's C-I-P-H-E-R, cyphercloud.com. You can go to their website and read their blog. Are there any kind of blogs that you read to keep up with this technology? Anything that's good for my listeners maybe read and catch up with?
Yeah, I follow the Gartner blogs. They have a lot of information around where the industries are going and what the best practices are. I think that one's very helpful.
Yeah. Well, when I wrote for the Washington Post, I wrote with a guy named Brian Krebs, who's I just love Brian, and I was reading stuff today, and he talked about Adobe, and he just seems to be on top of a lot of things, you know? And
so yeah, that's I like the Brian Krebs.
I like Krebs on security, so that's when it comes to security. I don't know if it focuses on encryption, but he seems to cover a lot of topics, including enterprise as well as individuals. So he survived the Washington Post, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
When earlier we talked about risk management, and many times the one that gets you is the one that you don't know and didn't know that. And so sometimes you may have to take a look into a survey and discover some of the risks in your cloud. And so there's a service and offering I think you guys have. Is that right?
That's right. Cypher Cloud offers a solution called Cloud Discovery. Mm-hmm. And not only – so it does two things. It actually goes in and looks at where all your users are going, all your employees, your users, your user communities, where they're going, what clouds they're using. But it also applies risk. So we have a knowledge base that's been developed over several years that risk rates each of those clouds. We have about 10,000 clouds in that knowledge base. And to define a risk, you need to know what's happening with the cloud. So we only look at clouds that either pull data from you through cookies or trending your activities, or you have the ability to push content into those clouds. So that's really the identifier.
Mm-hmm.
So we have cloud discovery as a solution. I've been doing a whole bunch of proof of concepts and pilots with companies ranging from travel agencies to financial to government.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm finding on every single pilot is we're seeing anywhere from 500 to 1,000 unsanctioned clouds in use by companies.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty high. And then what we're seeing out of those 500 to 1,000, typically 200 to 400 of those fall in a high risk rating, meaning that there's something wrong with that cloud. They've had issues. They have bad hosting. They have no privacy law regulations or policies.
So this seems like a utility or something, huh? An inventory, a survey? Is that what it might be?
Yeah, so it actually monitors real time all of your user activity. So it gathers data from your proxies. And it analyzes it. It's a big data engine. So it's continually surveying who's going where, what are they doing.
You know, one time my sister bought a house in Shaker Heights, Ohio, mm-hmm. an old house built in the 1920s, beautiful big old house. They lived there for 2 years, and they found a bathroom in the basement.
No kidding.
It was behind this door. They didn't know. They opened the door. There's a bathroom in there. And so I think some agencies are in the situation where they think they have a handle on everything they're connected to, and they may or may not be accurate, but this is a situation. I know large enterprise organizations, that says, especially if they've acquired other companies. I mean, come on now. How can you know that? But agencies may be able to take advantage of this as well. Is this a federally available product as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've deployed it and tested it with federal agencies, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, like I said, travel agencies. It's just the nature of a human, right? And I do the same thing. If I go in and I'm working at CipherCloud and I can't get data to a customer because I run out of space with Box, I go fire up a Dropbox account, mm-hmm. or I go, you know, find some other hosting service and I deliver that content. I'm going to figure it out because I've got a laptop and an internet connection.
Mm, somehow or other. So you kind of earned your keep with Salesforce, but your product also works with Force.com, with Chatter. These are Salesforce products.
Right.
But also Gmail, Microsoft, AWS, and you just mentioned Box as well.
Yeah, we do Box provisioning. We also have a new big opportunity for us is ServiceNow. ServiceNow is moving from a on-prem service. They're moving all of their customers to the cloud. It's easier to manage, easier to support. So big, huge opportunity there. We've actually picked up a couple of very large aeronautical companies that are using ServiceNow that are now protecting their data with CipherCloud.
And so CipherCloud's been growing. How many different agencies have you worked with? If there's three-letter-word agencies, and I've talked, just tell me who you've worked with, maybe some ideas.
Yeah, so agencies, we've worked with the Canadian government. An interesting one, Ontario Lottery and Gaming. They're worried about who wins and that data being disclosed. U.S. Postal.
Whoa, if I'm going to steal someone's identity, I want to study a multimillionaire's identity.
Exactly. Huh? Guy just won $10 million. Let's go figure out who he is. So
I never thought of
fishing,
that.
Fishing, right? That's called big whale fishing, right? So U.S. Postal Service, even the United States White House, Office of the White House uses our product. And then the English government in England uses our product. So yeah, a lot of government agencies, we've had a lot of discussions around potentially using CipherCloud to assist in satisfying ITAR compliance.
And you're ITAR compliant as of 2013?
Yes.
Yep, I'm pretty sure you are.
Well, ITAR compliance is a little tricky. Mm-hmm. It's the full package, so we can satisfy it, but the company that, or the organization using it has to also apply all their own policies.
So it's a little asterisk there.
Yeah, it's kind of a joint venture.
There used to be these movies and they talked about people's need for speed, and that was a word that was popular about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But here our buddy, Tony Scott from the White House, he's giving this talk, and he doesn't say need for speed, but he talks about speed to market. And he mm-hmm. says, here's the quote, you know, the new cybersecurity landscape is one that values speed to market above all else.
Right.
It goes back to the start of the conversation. ROI is great, but security's there and speed. So I think this is, you know, we talked about speed earlier with encryption, but we got to talk about speed where, well, I'm thinking about using CipherCloud, and is that going to be like a 3-year project to implement it? Well,
yeah.
I don't think so, but no, that's right here, speed to market.
Yeah, and that's a really good question. It's probably the first question that comes out of the opportunity of the company we're working with. How long is this going to take to deploy? Because we have to get this live by August 1st. And, you know, here we are sitting in late June. So on average, we can have a solution deployed in 4 to 8 weeks. Sometimes big corporations might take 12, 16 weeks because they have to get approval to turn on an IP address or mm-hmm. to provision servers. But we've turned it around as fast as 2 weeks for an Australian financial company. So we can spin it fast. But you need the resources and the servers.
And one of the hashtags that's associated with your company is the hashtag FinTech. And nothing to mm-hmm. do with the Miami Dolphins or fishing. It's financial technology, huh?
Right. Yeah. We're very much focused in the financial space. And it's all driven by regulation. So financial probably falls at the top of the ladder as far as number of regulatory controls, whether it's compliance for investment services, or it's personal protection of information, or GLBA, you know, the Grimm Act. So there's just huge amounts of regulations. I'd say healthcare and pharmaceuticals falls second to that.
My youngest daughter just got in a car and drove to Seattle, and she's living there now. She's a resident of the state of Washington. That's interesting. It's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, Brittany's in Washington. That's all fine and dandy. When it comes to data, it's not all that easy to talk about where it resides, is it? I mean, you can't just say, here's the mailbox, it's there. It's difficult to figure out where it types of residency. And so I think there are geographic issues. For example, some organizations may say, we can't let our information go outside the United States. Are there federal concerns in this area with residency as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, federal government agencies, especially with the ITAR, you know, regulations, they have to maintain control of that data as a federal agency. And the challenge you're facing is, as a federal agency, you've got to reduce costs. I know we've had discussions recently with the Air Force. They have millions of dollars set aside now to actually try and move to the cloud, to get off of their own infrastructure. You know, they're a protection agency themselves, right? The U.S. Air Force. So why are they spending billions of dollars in hosting services for servers? They want to move to Amazon. They want to move to other cloud-based providers, but they need to protect that data because it's very sensitive data.
And so they may be evaluating products from CipherCloud.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely in discussion with several of our military-based organizations and their vendors. So yeah, a lot of vendor activity.
Yeah, that's good. Let's take a break and come back. I'm going to ask you about apps. I want to talk about Connect Any App Database Gateway and where does that fit in for federal IT professionals and what kind of product offering that is. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Glenn Cobb. He's the Regional Vice President for the Americas in the area of solution engineering for a company called CipherCloud. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Glenn Cobb. He's a Regional Vice President for the Americas. His area is solution engineering for a company called CipherCloud, CipherCloud. You can go there. You can follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle? I think I mentioned, is it at CipherCloud? Is that easy?
Yes, at CipherCloud.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with all kinds of mentions. You can find out what they have going on there. Glenn, I have to tell you, a few years back, I had a security guy in the studio, and I was talking to someone at a conference, and they said, hey, what kind of phone does that guy use? He's a security guy.
Right.
And so I came up with this scientific 10-question test, and I'm going to ask you the test to find out if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd or not. And I'm going to start this right now. So the first question is, do you have an Instagram account?
No, I don't.
How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Weak. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
No, I don't.
Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
No.
You're far from being a nerd, my friend.
I'm not a nerd.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a 4S.
You're sinking. And what's the most popular app on that phone?
It is my aviation weather app.
Now that gets points. That is heavy nerd points. Right. Aviation app. Well, that's good, good, good.
There you go.
We break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we find floating around there?
Two tablets.
Okay. And what was your most recent post in a social networking site?
Oh, it was probably Facebook, just about some weather.
Did you order an Apple Watch?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
They're too big. I've got scrawny little wrists. I didn't want to carry around a briefcase on my wrist.
Yeah. And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was electronic, all electronic.
We got a medium score here. You're no nerd, I'll tell you that much. You're close to being normal, but just close.
Right.
And if the reason you didn't order an Apple Watch was that, that's called kind of a nerd type reason.
Right.
Or I'm waiting for version 2, or no, it's only $17,000 and all my watches are more expensive than that.
Never buy release 1. That's the rule, right?
Yeah, that's the rule, isn't it? You know, we talk about apps and smartphones and everyone, you know, 800 million smartphones were sold last year. So everyone's using apps for this, app for that. And so security concerns with apps. And so you have a product that addresses that, don't you?
Yes, actually. So CipherCloud really does protect a lot of applications. And we have flexibility to protect a lot of the collaboration applications through our cloud API. So as you start moving into the larger collaboration apps as an enterprise, as a company, we can protect that. And it's not only encryption, which is our forte, but it's DLP scanning. So we can see what's going into those apps. We can look for sensitive data or social security numbers that you're not supposed to be sticking out in Box or Dropbox. We can also look at unusual activity. So sales guy Joe, all of a sudden, you know, normally he's touching 10 accounts a week. All of a sudden he just downloaded 1,000 account records. This is a huge concern with today's cloud-based user communities. So he just downloaded his whole sales portfolio, and he's moving to a new company tomorrow.
That can't be good.
Not at all. It's you're giving them the tools, right? So the tools to move on.
I keep thinking of the fancy pants word. Is it behavioral analysis? Is it heuristic? Is that the word?
Yeah, heuristic, behavioral, and then you use, ironically, you use a term called machine learning to mm-hmm. actually figure that out. So the machine, the computer, has to watch your habits for about 3 to 4 weeks. And after about 4 weeks, it'll determine what's unusual.
Generally speaking, he turns his machine on at 5 o'clock in the morning, generally, and all of a sudden he misses a day. He's on vacation. Yep. Or what happened? Is he a traveler or something?
Yeah, yeah, it looks at hours. It looks at failed logins. It looks at devices. So it can see, okay, he normally connects in using iOS, and all of a sudden he's connecting from China with an Android. Mm. Probably a problem, right? Not it's not Joe anymore. It's somebody else.
Tony Scott talks about two-factor authentication. Where's your product fit in with that?
So we augment authentication. We stand behind it. You should always have multi-factor authentication, such as single sign-on. Our product really works well with that because not only are you encrypting or protecting the data and watching activity, but you're ensuring that the user has validated themselves at least twice. So we can pick up anomalies and see unusual activity. It could be too late, right? So the multi-factor or two-factor authentication stops it in its tracks because it doesn't allow that ring back or the text back to take place.
So he talked about, Tony Scott talked about a TPM chip. I think that's what it's called. Did I write it down correctly? Is that the?
Yeah, it's basically an electronic chip that's embedded. At some point in the future.
On your credential or?
Yeah, on your credentials. At some point in the future, you're going to have one in your wrist, right? It's the swipe credit card. You know, right now, if somebody steals my credit card, they can go swipe it on any machine and get what they want. So how do you control that, right? That's that out-of-band authentication that you need to drive towards.
So when people consider your company, it looks like you work with so many different organizations, whether it's Salesforce or Microsoft or AWS or Box. It seems like you must partner with organizations, and normally there's usually a mortar between the bricks, and that mortar is usually an API.
Yes.
And so you must have the mortar to allow the federal agency to work with Salesforce, and you have to get along with both sides of the road, don't you? So that's what your APIs are all about, I would think.
Absolutely. We have several products that work in the proxy mode, so traffic passes through them. And that's there's more heavy lifting there. There's more routing of traffic. So we're moving towards an API-driven environment. So it stands off to the side and just watches what's going on with the cloud. So it can report back immediately, and it can control. It can encrypt. It can stop traffic that's not supposed to be happening. And it can look for the Joes that are doing something they shouldn't be doing.
So when people describe your product as an appliance, does that irritate you? Is that a good summary, or is that like a virtual appliance? Or is
it's an 80s term, appliance,
yeah,
right? I have one in my kitchen. So for us, it's a piece of software, and that's a big differentiator. We're not trying to do a 2U rack mount. Like, we don't walk in with a big piece of hardware. We actually deliver software that you can install and run on virtual machines, so VM or Xen, we don't care what. And it runs in Linux, and it's there, and you guys manage it, maintain it, or you guys, meaning the customer, you manage and maintain it. So that keeps us at arm's length as well. So we don't even have access to the systems or the keys or any of the controls around it. So you have separation of duties, SOX controls are all in place.
Do you work with the folks at NIST? Do you know Ron Ross and those folks up there?
Yeah, we work with NIST a lot. They are a necessary evil. They take, they really push us through the ringer. We have to go through one of their approved laboratories, or laboratories, as you might call them, to get our validations, our certifications. So 140-2, 197. We work very closely with them, and it's quite an effort. It took us almost 2 years to get 140-2 certification.
Wow.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time, and you need some really big brains in the room, to explain how you're doing things.
And I hope you send a press release on that, because getting ISO certifications is difficult. Mm-hmm. FIPS certification is very, very hard. So here we are, summertime, talking about the Washington Nationals and the Boston Red Sox and baseball. So what's going to happen 4 or 5 years down the road? You think that transition is going to be made, or do you think someone's going to have to get really beat up and attacked before they go, okay, now we got to change? So where do you see this whole world of encryption and security heading for my listeners, the federal government?
So The good news for CipherCloud is those attacks are occurring. You know, data is being lost on a weekly basis.
That's good news.
Yeah, good news for CipherCloud. It's changing. We're seeing a rapid change where in the past CISOs kind of just sat back and said, let's see what happens. And now they have to actually take action. So Gartner's got the new CASB report, so Cloud Access Security Brokerage report, telling you as a CISO, you've got to do something. You have to protect your data. You have to watch where your users are going. So 5 years from now, you won't go to the cloud without some form of protection. It's the same as when you started buying your first laptop or desktop, you know, 15 years ago. You didn't need antivirus. There was no concern. And then all of a sudden, now you don't even run a laptop without antivirus, right? So it'll become a standard in the next couple of years where it'll be mandated.
So will other organizations like Microsoft or, I don't know, Box, will they start looking at FIPS 140 encryption? And, and is that a concern? Or I don't know where that how that could possibly play out down the road.
Right. So all of the big SaaS providers, including the ones you mentioned, are moving towards their own protection methods. So you can purchase from Salesforce a product called Shield. It's not a FIPS certified approach. None of the big SaaS providers have any certifications yet. So it's encryption, but it's not necessarily NIST certified. So from the government space, you want that certification. You know, it's government certification. So that's where CipherCloud differs. The second piece that really should be pointed out there is the zero knowledge. So if Salesforce or Box or ServiceNow are running the encryption, they have knowledge of the keys. At some point in their system, they can access that data and get it out in clear text, whether it's for the Patriot Act, a disgruntled employee. You know, so there's the differentiator. It's the ability to really control your keys and to have certified encryption protection for those.
Makes sense to me. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Glenn Cobb, Regional Vice President, Americas Solution Engineering for CipherCloud. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you. Thanks, John, for having me in.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Like Federal News Radio on Facebook for a look at some of the top federal stories each day. Plus, we'll give you a taste of what goes on behind the scenes. Find us at facebook.com/federalnewsradio.